Let's just pray again briefly as we get into our study here this evening. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have to be able to study your word. And Lord, as we study it right now, Lord, I pray that you would fill each of us, Lord, has been prayed already with your Holy Spirit, that we may hear what you would say to us. Lord, most of all, we want to know you better. Lord, we want to deepen our relationship with you, Lord, our Saviour. And Lord, we pray that that would be the result of our time in your word this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, we're going to start our time of Bible study at the point where Peter is giving his sermon in Acts chapter 2. And there he says this. He says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." And a few verses later, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Why did Peter say this Jesus and not just Jesus? Luke used similar words when describing what Paul said in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 9, and he said, "But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ." And Paul himself later again is recorded using these words in Acts 17. It says, "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, 'This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ.'" Again, why is it the term "this Jesus"? You know, was it not clear? Well, obviously they wanted to be clear in whom they were talking about. And they were talking about this Jesus. Not anyone else called Jesus, but this Jesus. And they wanted to be clear that this Jesus is the Messiah. No one else is, no one else could be. And indeed, only someone who met the prophecies of the Old Testament could be the Messiah. And that was this Jesus. But let's consider, do people get the wrong Jesus today? There's an excellent website made by a chap called Adam Ford, where he publishes short Christian comics. If you want to look it up later, I highly recommend it. It's both humorous in many of the posts, but in pretty much all the posts I've seen there, it makes some really helpful, good, clear points. And that website is adam4d.com. One of his posts is titled, "Which Jesus Do You Worship?" And I want to read that to you this evening because I think it's really helpful. So he says, "Which Jesus do you worship? There are so many options to choose from." Before you think this is heretical, go with it here. He makes a good point. He says, "For instance, John Lennon Jesus. All you need is love. That's all I care about, really. Not truth or anything like that. It's all about peace and love. And love and peace and spirituality." Or perhaps there's Zig Ziglar Jesus, a motivational speaker, who said, "I created you to succeed. You're going to win so much in life that you should change your name to Winnie Winnerton. Success is in your future. Believe it and achieve it. I got your back, champ." Or perhaps Mr. Rogers Jesus. "What I'm concerned most with, dear children, is that you be really nice to each other. Be careful never to hurt anyone's feelings, because all people just like you are my special little followers." Or perhaps Cool Dad Jesus. "Yeah, technically I'm in charge, but hey, I'm no buzzkill. Do whatever you want. I'm not going to punish you. I'm no lame. Huh, I didn't even see anything. Lol." Or maybe there's Rob Bell Jesus. "Everyone is going to be just fine. Everyone goes to heaven when they die. Any other view of me is just toxic. If hell were real, that would make me a monster, wouldn't it? Yes, a toxic monster, and I am not a toxic monster." Or perhaps Richard Simmons Jesus. "You're doing a great job. Yes, you can do it. I believe in you. You're beautiful. You're strong. You're perfect." or perhaps one we're pretty familiar with. Genie, Jesus, I'll just be chilling in heaven until you need something, okay? And then just say the magic words, in Jesus' name, and kazam, your wish is my command. You ain't never had a friend like me. Adam Ford goes on and says, all of these versions of Jesus have two important things in common. People believe in them, and number two, they don't exist. They are imaginary friends to which people have given the name Jesus, but there is only one Jesus. And it's not the Jesus I say is real. It's the Jesus the Bible says is real. The Jesus revealed by Scripture. The Jesus that the Word of God calls the Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Saviour of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the righteous judge, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the Lord of glory, the Lord of all, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd, the great High Priest, the great I Am, the way, the truth, and the life, the power and wisdom of God, the Holy and Righteous One, the Word of God made flesh, the resurrection and the life, the ruler over everything, the judge of the living and the dead, the true, mighty, everlasting God who was and is to come. Jesus, the real Jesus. Not karma Jesus or sports Jesus, vegan Jesus, career Jesus, racist Jesus or butler Jesus or any other version of Jesus. So, which Jesus do you worship? I think that post is a point well made. But let's consider this a little bit more. For what does the Bible say about Jesus? Of course, a lot for sure. But let's look at just a few verses to get started. Matthew chapter 3, we read, and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In John chapter 4, we read, the woman said to him, this is the woman at the well speaking to Jesus, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And in John chapter 10, we read Jesus say, I and my Father are one. Anyone who says that Jesus and all the Bible did not claim that he was God are wrong. C.S. Lewis famously said this, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claims to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. He carries on and says, you can shut him up as a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. When it comes to Jesus' resurrection, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth of how this is central to our faith. We read there, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are also found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. there is much other clear detail that the Bible gives us about this Jesus, about the Jesus, about our Jesus. And we read this summary that follows here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. A Jesus that was not present at creation, did not come to this earth as a man, was not born of a virgin, did not claim to be God, is not God, was not sinless, did not die for your sin, did not physically rise from the dead, did not ascend into heaven, is not alive now, will not return again, and will not judge the world, is not the Jesus of the Bible. They are not the Jesus that we worship as a church. And of course, you can make up your own ideas of who Jesus is, but don't dare call that Christianity. John wrote, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." Knowing who Jesus is, then, is critically important. So why do people get the wrong idea? Well, one reason is that people have preconceptions based on the limited amount that they've heard. And we read of some such as those in John's Gospel, in the town of Capernaum. We read there, and they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" You see, they figured they knew who Jesus was when they didn't know him at all. Another reason that people get the wrong Jesus is because they are given the wrong Jesus. They are given wrong information, a false gospel, which, of course, is not good news at all. And Paul wrote the following to the church in Corinth. He said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." But I think the biggest reason that people believe in the wrong Jesus, or don't believe in him at all, is that believing Jesus was who he said he was would require change. And after all, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in Matthew chapter 28, we read, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. The Bible teaches that we need a saviour because of our sin, that Jesus is that saviour, and that if we accept him as our saviour, if we repent and we believe in him, we should keep his commandments. So who do you say Jesus is? This is exactly what Jesus asked his disciples in chapter 16 of Matthew's Gospel. We read there, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Here's the thing. If Jesus is who he says he is, if you believe that, then it should follow that your life reflects that. If Jesus is who he said he is, it changes everything. This is more than a question of your theological position. It's a question of believing truth or not, and that changes how we act. Sadly, you can find churches that teach a false Jesus. You can even find individuals who claim to be a Messiah or the Messiah. And we're warned in the Bible of this. In 2 Peter we read, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord God brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." And in 1 John we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world." Jesus himself warned. We read here in Matthew chapter 24. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" Don't try and figure out who Jesus is to you. The Bible is not open to private interpretation. Rather, understand who Jesus is. Because once that's settled, it changes everything. What you choose to believe about Jesus is a matter of life and death. You'll either meet Jesus as your saviour or you'll face him as your judge. But it's not about just believing either. We read in James chapter 2, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." More than knowing about Jesus, you need to know him. And you can. That's the best thing possible for each one of us. Don't deceive yourself thinking you're a Christian because you have an idea of who Jesus is to you. You need to know who he actually is and then get to know him. R.A. Torrey gave this warning. He said, "Men and women, you cannot deceive God. It will do you no good to deceive anybody else, and it is consummate folly to deceive yourself. The biggest fool on this earth is the man who fools himself." I think the warning we should take from that is we shouldn't pretend to be a Christian. There's no making of this up. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the clear warnings we have in your word, that we need to know you and we need to know the truth. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't make up in our own minds some idea of who we think you are. But Lord, we would always go back to your word to see who you actually are. Lord, to see that you are the King of Kings, to see that you are our God, that you are our Saviour who came to this earth, who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who died in our place for our sin, who rose again that we may spend eternity in heaven with you, and that, Lord, you have already ascended back there to prepare that place for us, and that, Lord, you are coming back to this earth as King. Oh, Lord, we pray that it would be you that we know, not, Lord, figments of our imagination. And Lord, help us, we pray, as we talk to those around us, to not just accept that someone knows you because they have an idea of what they think you're like. But Lord, help us lead them to you. Lord, not just an idea about you, but you yourself. Lord, we pray that you would help these things, Lord, especially your words, sit on our heart during this week. And Lord, may we learn more about you, but Lord, come to know you more each day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.